Jo aie is set up me per bhala sabhi ka ho re shuddh dharam sab ke man jage शुद्ध धर्म सबके मन जागे मुक्त दुखों से हो रे सबका मंगल हो रे मंगल रे वंडरफुल मॉन्क्स नन्स Justice Deshpande ji, and pilgrims to this Dhamma land, seekers of peace and harmony, you have all assembled here to understand the theoretical aspect as well as the practical aspect of this technique of Vipassana, which can bring peace and harmony at the depth of the mind. What is Vipassana? Vipassana is not a cult. Vipassana is not a dogma. Vipassana is not a blind belief. Vipassana is not an organized religion. It has nothing to do with any organized religion. Vipassana is science, pure science. The science of mind and matter. How this mechanism of mind and matter functions. Vipassana helps one to investigate the truth pertaining to one's own mind, pertaining to one's own body, which in turn helps the meditator to go to the deep-rooted cause of the misery, the deep-rooted cause of agitation, irritation, and also helps to eradicate that deep-rooted cause so that one gets liberated from agitation, liberated from irritation, and starts living a peaceful life, harmonious life, good for oneself and good for others. It is certainly a very ancient technique of this country. Was rediscovered 2,500 years ago by Gautama the Buddha. And he acclaimed Puranu Maggu, এই সমগ্র সনন্তন এই সমগ্র সনন্তন ইটস এ ভেরি এনশিয়েন্ট পাথ বাট ওয়াজ লস্ট অ্যান্ড হি রিডিসকভার্ড ইট হি রিডিসকভার্ড দ্য টেকনিক মেড ইউজ অফ ইট ফর হিজ ওন লিবারেশন Liberation from the bondages of all the mental defilements for his own enlightenment. And then out of infinite compassion, he started distributing this wonderful technique to the suffering people all around. The technique is pure Dhamma. Unfortunately, in our country, the word Dhamma or Dharma has become synonymous to sect, to sampradaya. Therefore, we keep on saying Hindu Dharma, Buddha Dharma, Jain Dharma, Sikh Dharma, etc., etc. This is the misfortune of the country. If dharma is pure dharma, it has nothing to do with these organized religions. It has nothing to do with these sects. It can never be sectarian. It is always universal. Buddha does not teach Buddhism. A Buddha teaches Dhamma, the law universal. His teachings are never sectarian, otherwise he is not Buddha, he is not fully liberated. There is something wrong somewhere. Vipassana is Dhamma, the law of nature, which governs the entire universe. Animate or inanimate. It does not favor any particular community. It has no prejudice against one sect, nor preference towards another sect. It is universal. The law is law. Attano sabhav dhareti iti dhamma. The nature, the characteristic, this is Dhamma. The nature of fire is to burn. This is the nature of fire. That is why we say the Dharma of fire is to burn. Knowingly or unknowingly, I placed my hand on burning fire. My hand burns. If I don't like this burning, I better keep my hand away from this fire. This is law of nature. What Hinduism about it? What Buddhism about it? What Jainism about it? This is universal law. If you place your hand on fire, it will get burned. If you want not to get burned, better keep your hand away from fire. Similarly, it is the law. If I generate anger, if I generate hatred, ill will, animosity, I start burning. I become agitated. I become miserable. I may harm others or I may not harm others. That is secondary. By my generating anger, but I start harming myself as soon as I generate anger. The law of nature is such, if I do not want to harm myself, the best way is to come out of this mad habit of generating negativities in the mind, defilements in the mind. very easy to accept it at the intellectual level. Yes, yes, whenever I generate anger, certainly I became miserable. Very easy to accept it at the devotional level because an enlightened person has said so, because the saints and sages of our country have said so, and I have got great devotion in those saints, so I accept, yes, I should not generate anger, I should not generate hatred, I should not generate ill will, animosity, otherwise I will be punished by nature. Very easy to accept it. So difficult to practice. In spite of all the intellectual understanding, in spite of all the devotional acceptance, time and again one starts generating eruption of anger, hatred, ill will, and keeps on making oneself so unhappy, so miserable. And when you generate anger, and when you generate hatred, and when you generate ill will, you don't keep this misery limited to yourself. You start distributing this misery to others. You make others miserable. The entire atmosphere around you gets permeated with the negativity that you are generating. Anybody who comes in contact with you at that time becomes miserable. Oh, this is what one keeps on doing, generating negativity in the mind, becoming miserable oneself, and distributing this misery to others, making others miserable. Certainly, this is not a good way of life. This is not an art of living. Vipassana teaches us how to come out of this madness, how to live a peaceful and harmonious life within, and how to generate nothing but peace and harmony for others. How does it happen? Not merely by sermons, not merely by intellectual understandings. Vipassana is to observe the reality as it is, within oneself. The entire phenomenon of mind and matter, how it is functioning. And as you start observing the function of mind and matter deep within yourself, things become so clear, so clear, as to why I generate these negativities in my mind. I generate anger, hatred, ill will, animosity, or any other negativity. It will become so clear by observing the truth within yourself that you have tremendous amount of attachment towards craving. This craving and clinging results in anger, hatred. You crave for something, you cling to something, and you miss it. It does not happen. As a result of which, you start generating anger, hatred. Why craving? Why clinging? Because there is tremendous amount of attachment to this I. Without knowing what is this I, Vipassana helps you to investigate the truth pertaining to this I. What is this I? Is this physical structure I? Is this mental structure I? Or is there something else as I which is beyond this mind and matter? Don't accept because your teacher says so. Don't accept because your scripture says so. Don't accept because your tradition says so. Investigate yourself. Like a scientist, an honest scientist, just explore the truth within yourself. what is this physical structure to which I keep on saying I, mine, I identify myself with this. I keep on generating tremendous amount of attachment towards it, as a result of which I keep on generating so much of negativities. And what is this mental structure to which I keep on saying I, mine, I keep on identifying myself with this mental structure. I keep on generating tremendous amount of attachment towards this mental structure, and as a result of which I keep on generating negativities, defilements, making myself unhappy, making others unhappy. And if there is something beyond this mind and matter, let me explore. Let me investigate. Let me realize it. So the entire path of Vipassana is to explore the truth pertaining to the mind and mental structure from the grossest level to the subtlest level, and then transcend it and experience something which is beyond mind and matter. It has to be experienced, not just accepted because the intellect says so, not just to be accepted because a saint has said so, or an enlightened person has said so. This acceptance will not help you. But if you realize that truth yourself, then you will find that you are a changed person altogether. Because the entire path of this self-exploration, truth exploration, self-realization, truth realization, the entire path from the grossest to the subtlest is the path of self-purification. As you move from the gross towards the subtle, you will know with your own experience how layers after layers of your impurities get peeled off. They get eradicated. And then only you can experience something subtler than that. And again, you are just observing it objectively. You are investigating the truth about it without imposing any dogma over it, without imposing any philosophical belief over it. You are just observing it as it is, not as you would like it to be, but as it is. You are observing objectively, and you find again layers after layers of impurities get eradicated, and you come in contact with still subtler realities, and you continue to observe it objectively, still subtler reality, till you explore the entire field of mind, the entire field of matter, and then easily you transcend it and experience something which cannot be expressed in words, something which is beyond mind and matter. And once you've experienced it, maybe even for a few moments, and you come back again to the field of mind and matter, you are a totally changed person. You are changing yourself even when you take each step on the path, because impurities, the defilements get eradicated. And you are a changed person every step. But once you experience that stage which is beyond mind and matter and come out of it, you are a totally changed person. Therefore, merely accepting the truth as announced by an enlightened person will not help us, because we don't get changed by that. But experience the truth ourselves will certainly change. This has happened to thousands of people in the past. This is happening even today, because this is law of nature, universal law of nature. As you go deeper and deeper, you will find that you are experiencing the law which is universal, which has nothing to do with Buddhism, nothing to do with Hinduism, nothing to do with Jainism, nothing to do with anyism. This is truth, truth eternal. Whether there is a Buddha or no Buddha, whether Buddha arises or Buddha doesn't arise in the world, the law is there, the Dhamma Niyamta is there, the universal law is there. You place your hand on the fire, you are bound to get burned. You don't want to get burned, keep your hand away from the fire. This is law, as simple as that. You generate aversion and hatred, craving and clinging in your mind, You are bound to burn yourself, you are bound to become unhappy, Buddha or no Buddha, Hinduism or no Hinduism, Islam or no Islam, makes no difference. You come out of this craving and aversion, you are out of your misery. Buddhism or no Buddhism, Hinduism or no Hinduism, makes no difference. This is law, this is nature, natural law. And this is what one has to experience deep inside. As one starts practicing, observing the truth within the framework of the body, it becomes so crystal clear that as and when I perform any action, physical or vocal, which harms other beings, which hurts other beings, which disturbs the peace and harmony of other beings, it becomes so clear that this very action has started harming me also. Simultaneously it has started harming me. Because a vipassana meditator, observing the truth within oneself, starts experiencing it, that whenever I perform any action at the physical level, vocal level, to harm others, like if I kill somebody, or I steal something that does not belong to me, or I speak false words, lies, or harsh words, or I do anything at the physical or vocal level which will harm others, it will become so clear to this person, a vipassana meditator, that I cannot perform such an action unless I generate tremendous amount of anger or hatred or ill will or animosity or fear or passion or craving. Some defilement or the other must arise in the mind, and then only I perform an action at the vocal level or physical level which will harm others. And as and when I generate such defilement in my mind, the nature starts punishing me here and now. I become so miserable. I become so unhappy whenever I generate any defilement. This is not a sermon from anybody. This is one's own experience. And more and more one experiences this truth within oneself, one starts coming out of this madness. One starts understanding that if I really love myself, if I really love myself, then I should not harm myself. And look, I keep on harming myself whenever I harm others. Because whenever I harm others, I generate defilements and I start harming myself. I lose my peace, I lose my harmony. I become so agitated, I become so irritated. And at that depth of the mind, when one starts understanding it, it's not a sermon. Then one is realizing this truth, one is realizing the law of nature, the characteristics, the habit pattern of the mind starts changing. This is vipassana. Observe the truth as it is within yourself. It has nothing to do with this sect or that sect, this community or that community. The law is applicable on one and all. The nature does not favor somebody just because this somebody says that I am a Hindu, or I am a Buddhist, or I am a Jain. So even if I generate defilement in my mind, I may not be punished. I should not become agitated. Nothing doing. You keep on calling yourself by any name. As soon as you generate defilement in the mind, you are bound to become miserable. You are bound to become unhappy. This becomes so clear. And because it becomes so clear at the experiential level, the more and more one gets established in pure Dhamma, the pure law of nature, by experiencing the truth within oneself, by the technique of vipassana, one comes out of the bondages, the attachments, the clingings of casteism, of sects, of narrow nationalism. One starts understanding that this is universal law. What makes the difference whether I am an Indian or I am a British or I am a Russian or a Chinese? The law is applicable in the same way. What makes the difference whether I am a Brahmin or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or a Shudra? What makes difference? Makes no difference. Whether I am a Hindu or a Muslim or a Jain or a Christian, makes no difference. So all these bondages of narrow understanding, they get broken. Easily they get broken. One comes out of that. The mind becomes purer and purer, purer and purer. And a pure mind by nature, you won't have to train a pure mind, by nature it is full of infinite love, infinite compassion, infinite sympathetic joy, infinite equanimity. These are the basic characteristics of a pure mind. Ananta Maitri, Ananta Karuna, Ananta Mudita, Ananta Upeksha. This ancient technique helps you to reach that stage. It helps you to experience the truth. This commotion outside, observe the commotion inside. It's more important. Observe how you remain agitated inside. Something unwanted has happened and you lose the peace of your mind. You become agitated. If you start observing this agitation within yourself, you find that layers after layers of the agitation get eradicated. Not that you suppress your agitation. You divert your attention to something else. Anger has arisen. You divert your attention to something else. It looks as if you got a solution to the problem. But what you have diverted? You have diverted only the surface level of your mind, only the so-called conscious mind. But you actually suppress deep within yourself at the unconscious or the half-conscious mind the anger that had arisen. And this suppressed anger can again erupt like a volcanic eruption from time to time, and you become more miserable. So instead of suppressing it by diverting your attention to something else, start observing it. Anger has arisen. Now let me see how long it lasts. Oh, aversion has arisen. Now let me see how long it lasts. Oh, fear has arisen. Let me see how long it lasts. Very easy to say. Again, very difficult to practice. Because when anger arises, how can you observe anger? There is no shape of anger. There is no form of anger. There is no color of anger. What you will observe? Even if you close your eyes and sit, I want to observe anger, you will just keep on remembering the person against whom the anger has arisen. You will keep on remembering the incident because of which the anger has arisen. You are not observing anger. You are observing the stimuli of the anger. Your anger gets more and more stimulated deep inside because you are not observing anger. To observe abstract anger, to observe abstract fear, abstract passion, is not easy. Vipassana makes it easy. Because the one who became fully enlightened understood at the experiential level that whenever a defilement arises in the mind, two things start happening at the physical level. One at a little gross level and the other at a little subtler level. At a gross level, what happens? The respiration will lose its normality. As soon as you generate anger or hatred or fear or passion, any defilement, you can't have normal breath. The breath will become abnormal, little hard, little fast. And when that particular defilement is gone, you will find that your breath has again become normal. Oh, so the mind and matter are so interrelated. Your breath never remains normal when you generate a defilement in the mind. And at a subtle level, some biochemical reaction or the other will start taking place within the framework of the body. Some electromagnetic reaction will start taking place in the body. There might be throbbing, pulsation, heaviness, pressure, tension, heat, perspiration, something will start happening within yourself, which is said Vedana, sensations on the body. Now a wonderful solution was found by the enlightened person. You can't observe anger as anger, abstract anger.
You can't observe passion as passion, abstract passion, cutting it from the object. But certainly if you practice for a few days, you can observe your respiration as respiration. You can observe the sensations on your body just as sensations. And in 10 days, this is what you learn. You start observing your respiration so that whenever in the life a defilement comes, immediately you start observing your respiration and you observe your sensations on the body when you come to a course of meditation of Vipassana, and you become so perfect in it that whenever any defilement has arisen, you start observing the sensation on the body. You are actually observing the defilement which has arisen at that time. You are not diverting your attention to something else. Because this physical phenomenon, the respiration, the sensation, are nothing but the other side of the coin. One side of the coin is the mental defilement. On the other side of the coin is respiration, is sensation on the body. A wonderful solution was found. You start observing your respiration, you start observing the sensation on the body, and you will find layers after layers of that particular defilement get eradicated. You are not suppressing them. You are coming out of them. This helps anyone, everyone, people coming from any community, from any religion, from any sect, from any country. It makes no difference. It is pure Dhamma. 2500 years ago, Buddha taught pure Dhamma. A large number of people got benefited by it. He taught this technique, the universal technique. A large number of people got benefited by it. A very glaring example is the example of the greatest terrorist that the world has produced, Angulimala, who in this very life had killed 999 innocent people without any logic, without any reason. Such a great terrorist, how he turned into a saintly person, a fully liberated person, full of love, full of compassion for the entire humanity. What a big change. Similarly, so many people got changed. And then again, after 250 years or 300 years, again, this wonderful technique, as pure Dhamma, not as Buddhism, understand, not as a sect, but as pure Dhamma, was again taught throughout the country, and then outside the country also, by the then central government of our country, under Emperor Ashoka. And then there are proofs for that, that large number of people got transformed. Their characters changed, their way of life changed, human qualities started coming in them, developing in them. Wherever this technique went outside India, and wherever people practiced it, the same result. Unfortunately, due to some reason or the other, our country lost it within 500 years. 500 years after Buddha taught it. It went to various Southeast Asian countries. Some maintained it for a few centuries. Some could not. But one good country, our neighboring country, Burma, maintained this wonderful technique in its pristine purity for the last 25 centuries. Although limited to very few people, from generation to generation, from teacher to pupil, from teacher to pupil. Since the last 17 years, it has come back to our country, giving the same results. This technique has been applied on very hard criminals in Jaipur jail, and wonderful results have come. It has been applied to people from various walks of life, and the same results It was applied by my teacher, Seaji Ubakhin, in Burma, and the results were so wonderful. He was head of so many departments. He was a civil servant, accountant general of Burma. Wherever he was posted, he made the staff of that particular department to meditate Vipassana, and in a few years, a big change started coming. Bribery and corruption were eradicated from those departments to a great extent. Efficiency of the government officials increased manifold, getting very good results. The same thing was tried here in Rajasthan government, and we have the ex-Home Secretary of Rajasthan government with us. He was so enthusiastic because he found so much good in this technique. He asked a number of officials in the Home Ministry, and the result was that the efficiency increased. The results were wonderful. The technique is such, it does not differentiate between one person and the other. It gives benefit to one and all. Since 17 years, people have been practicing it. Now the time has come. It is the 10th anniversary of this meditation center being established here. It is the 15th anniversary year of my teacher, the great saint of Burma, Seaji Ubakhin. He passed away 15 years back. To me, it looks the time has ripened that it should spread. It is a wonderful technique, there is no doubt about it. It gives wonderful results, there is no doubt about it. But please do not accept it just because a Vipassana teacher says so. He may be a good salesman, talking that his commodity is the best. Don't accept it because a great enlightened person of our country has said so. Don't accept it because the scripture says so. Because merely acceptance at that level will not help you at all. Accept it by your own experience. I'm glad that a large number of intellectuals who come to this meeting, to this seminar, have not come merely to play intellectual games. They have come to give it a trial. Some of them, of course, cannot find 10 days leave now, but I am sure they will come one day, finding good results in others. But it is actually for oneself to experience the truth that the benefit derives. You may keep on talking about the sweetness of Rasgulla. You won't taste it. It is only when you place it on your own tongue that you taste it. So Dhamma Rasa, you have to taste it yourself. The benefit you will get only by experience. Those who are participating in the 8 or 9 days camp, let them investigate the technique. Let them investigate the truth within themselves like scientists. No blind devotion. Not to accept things because the teacher says so. Of course, you keep on discussing with the teacher if there is any complication in the technique, if it is not clear, certainly for clarification, you must approach your teacher, nothing wrong in that. But ultimately, it is your own experience which will help you. So like a scientist, you better explore the truth. Make a research. In the ancient language of India, the teaching, religious teachings were said desana, upadesha, desana. And if the teaching is from an enlightened person, they used to say sudesana. I was surprised because I was born in Burma and I lived there. I learned a little bit of the language and I was surprised to see that sudesana, in Burmese language, to Deshana means research. So the good teaching of an enlightened person is to research. Sudeshana is research in Burmese language. You make a research of truth within yourself, then only the Deshana is Sudeshana, otherwise no Sudeshana. It won't help you. So good, a large number of intellectuals who have joined this seminar are going to do Sudeshana within themselves, they are going to do research within themselves. May they all be successful in their attempt. May they all come out of the complexes that they have accumulated deep within themselves. The technique will certainly help them to take out their complexes. May all of them enjoy good fruits of this wonderful technique, Vipassana, a very ancient technique of our country.
Bhavatu sabba mangalam. Bhavatu sabba mangalam. Bhavatu. Sabba.